start. Okay. Before we go on, maybe we should ask you, when were you born and where?
I was born October 30, 1918, at McGee Hospital.
Here in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh.
Okay. You lived in the East End Highland Park area and in Squirrel Hill. And then you never moved to Fox Chapel, is that correct? Or did you live in Fox? Oh, you did live in Fox Chapel.
Well, yes, I lived in Fox Chapel, but that became my my parents' home, so it was my home.
Uh-huh.
I was there summers while I was in Princeton.
Right.
I came back to Pittsburgh and was here for a couple of years while I was working at the Tech and at the Explosives Lab Research Laboratory. Then I went to New York for a couple of years, and I came back and I lived at home during the years that I was at Pitt, and in the years that I worked in my father's business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
my parents lived there until my father died in 1976.
Could you just tell us a little bit about how you think things have changed here in the city since when you were a child? How things were different, or are they very different?
With respect to the city, or with respect to...
To you and how you feel about the city.
Well, the city, of course, during the years that I was at Shadyside, and even during the war, was aptly described as hell with the lid on. When you drove across the Highland Park Bridge, the steam engines that passed under it would shower the roof of the car with cinders. And I'm sure you've heard the story about business people who always took a spare shirt to work because it had to be changed during the course of the day. With the revision of smoke control, and then later with the decline of heavy industry, Pittsburgh has become a tremendously more livable city. And it's very centrally located, and I think that Pittsburgh has benefited from not having had the explosive growth that has occurred with so many other cities, such as Detroit, Los Angeles, Miami. I think that many of those cities have become virtually ungovernable and unlivable. Pittsburgh, I think, by contrast, has stayed as a reasonably comfortable place to live. It's probably as good as any other.
I feel the same about it. I like it here very much.
I think we're all fortunate that the city has not grown as dramatically, and I think that the quality of life here has improved significantly.
Okay. Could you tell us something about the work you did, or are you able to tell us something about what you did on the Manhattan Project?
We developed the barrier material, which was the basis of the original uranium diffusion plant that was built at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Very, very dramatic and reasonably high pressure, high priority job under the circumstances.
How long did you stay on that job?
It was about 2.5 years.
2.5. Okay. Then when you came back to Pittsburgh and you went back to school, could you tell us something about how you met your wife and married?
Yes. Well, I had a friend, Matthew Seltzer, and two of the fellows that I worked with at Trinity Tech Joe Tracht and Dave Kindler. And so we're always looking for young ladies to date. And we're always, Dave and Joe and I would always triple date. And then the girl would be like the best, but one of us would ask her to see if she could get a couple of friends for the rest of us. And so we just met a lot of different girls, and we were single, and we went out every other night until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and went to bed the next night at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
And on one of the visits that we made, we had heard about the International Club, which was put on by the YWCA. So I joined and became a member of the YWCA. And I went to one of the dances and saw a girl I thought was very lively and very attractive. And I asked one of the fellows there to introduce me to her. And that was Helen Virginia McMurdo, M-A-C-M-U-R-D-O.
Wait one second. Spell it again.
M-A-C. Capital M-U-R-D-O. She lived in, her family lived in Blairsville. And she had roomed with another girl at number 2 Dunmoyle Place. So I dated for 3 years. End of 1952, I bought a billboard business in Baltimore called the Morton, M-O-R-T-O-N, the Morton Company. And about 2 months after I bought the business, I came back to Pittsburgh, and Helen and I were married. We then had a half-day honeymoon at White Sulphur Springs Hotel, not the one in West Virginia, but this is a place called Man's Choice, M-A-N-N. Yes, Man's Choice, which is outside of Bedford. And we went on to Baltimore because I had to be at the business on Monday morning. And we lived there for 3 years, and sold the business, and then returned to Pittsburgh in February of 1956, where I rejoined my father's company, Pittsburgh Outdoor Advertising. And then a few years after that, we were able to buy the controlling interest in the business from the General Outdoor Advertising Corporation. And, so after my father retired, I became the sole owner of the business. And my father died in 1976, and he was either 88, 89, or 90, depending on which day he spoke from.
So he lived to a fine old age.
Oh yes, and my mother lived to be 94.
Oh wow.
She died in 1984.
Good gene.
Good gene.
How was it moving from a life of science into the world of business? How did that, how was that?
Didn't really miss a beat. I mean, it was, I was very interested in what I was doing as a research chemist. And actually, I taught chemistry at the University of Pittsburgh for a year, and just decided that opportunity to earn more money and to have a better life in business than working at a university. And I also found, to my surprise and disappointment, that being a university professor appeared to be no less stressful and to be subject to the same arbitrary and capricious decisions that are made in private business. So I couldn't see any selfish reason to stay with research or with teaching.
In other words, the university was not an ivory tower. It was competitive and tough.
Very far from it.
Mm. What about your children?
Well, we have four boys. Our oldest one, Henry, was born in 1955, which makes him 39. He lives on Shenley Farms Terrace here in Pittsburgh. He's married to what we think is a great daughter-in-law. Her maiden name was Ann Malloy, M-A-L-L-O-Y. And they have two little girls. One is 6 and one is 4 and a half. And then they recently adopted a little boy from Paraguay. And he's 1.5 years. And we see them once a week or more. The second son, Jim, is 38, and he is presently living in Honolulu, where he does volunteer work for an AIDS support group. Our third son is Paul. Paul is living in San Antonio, where he has several businesses that he owns and manages. He's in the aging business, in the cellular resale business, that is, he sells cellular telephones for generally for the wireline company for one of the baby bells.
How old is Paul?
Paul is 35. Jim is not married. Paul is not married. Paul is working very hard, harder than his good judgment, and is expanding the business into a number of different cities. He's operating now in about five different cities, and very successful at what he's doing. He has himself a nice home at Lake Bernie, that's B-O-E-R-N-E, which is north of San Antonio in the so-called Hill Country. The youngest son, Rob, is living Rob is 34, and he's living in Covington, Louisiana, which is about 45 minutes north of New Orleans and about 10 minutes north of Lake Pontchartrain. And Rob is, in the next few days, expects to finalize his second divorce. He has two children, a girl who is six and adopted, and a boy who is 2 years old.
I know that your grandchildren go to Temple because my daughter teaches in the kindergarten, and she said you have, I know you have one lovely little granddaughter.
Okay.
But I know you must have two.
We have two, yeah.
And what sort of religious orientation did you, as you and Helen, build in your home with the children, with your sons?
We sent them to religious school at Rodef Shalom, but we did not set a very good example because we ourselves only went for the holidays. But in Henry's case, Ann went through a formal conversion to Judaism, and they sent their children to religious school. Regular basis.
Was it important, do you think, to your son Henry for his wife to convert?
I think it was Anne's decision that she felt that that was what was best for the children. And she's been very attentive and very devoted mother. Remarkable job. She works. She's employed by the Southwestern Pennsylvania Regional Development Board. Notwithstanding that, of course, all the children are farmed out now during the day. The older girl goes to Ellis. Younger girl goes to Craig and Helen's daycare center. And there's a lady in Squirrel Hill who looks after the little boy during the day. And he's also been a very attentive father, and although he does a fair amount of traveling for his business, he's still, except when he's out of town, when he's home with his family every evening.
What's his business?
Henry owns and manages something called the Railroad Development Corporation. Railroad Development Corporation manages railroads and keeps an equity interest in them. They presently manage the Iowa Interstate, which runs from a point east of Chicago to a point just west of Omaha. And also they operate two railroads in Argentina, Buenos Aires, now Pacifico, and Rio Quito.
So he does travel.
Yes, he's frequently gone for a week at a time. 2 weeks ago, he was in Bolivia, and as of this evening, he's leaving for Brazil. He's out of town probably 4 weeks out of the year.
Out of the year? Not bad.
No.
So none of your sons have come into your business?
Well, Henry is in our business. We have our offices in Green Tree Commons in Green Tree. And Henry's in the office and involved in our other business affairs. We are involved in a wide range of businesses. And so he's participates in an advisory capacity. Most of the businesses, primarily his focus on his railroad business.
I see. Okay. Then what you're telling, what I seem to be hearing is that Pittsburgh Advertising is not your only business now.
We're no longer involved in Pittsburgh Outdoor Advertising.
Okay.
That was, we sold that in 1979 to Metro Media. I'm sorry, we sold it in 1979 to a partnership of which we retained a half interest, and then in 1984, the partnership sold the business to Metro Media. So at that point, we no longer have any direct financial interest in Pittsburgh Outdoor Advertising, although we lease a lot of real, own and lease a lot of real estate.
I see.
Do we have time to
Could you give us a kind of overview and a description of Pittsburgh Outdoor Advertising? You know, tell us something about that business.
Well, Pittsburgh Outdoor Advertising was, and its present ownership today is, by a wide margin, the major outdoor advertising business in Pittsburgh, and the largest in the state except for possibly Philadelphia. It's a very competitive business in the sense that there is so much competition for advertising money from radio, television, newspapers, magazines, all the different forms of competing advertising. It's a very good business, but it requires a great amount of personal attention. I know too much.
You know what? What do you do when you go to, when a person goes to work who owns Pittsburgh Outdoor Advertising? What are the things that have to be? What are the problems that have to be solved? But I don't know anything about it.
Well, the principal billboard forms are poster advertising signs, which are 12 feet high by 24 feet wide, on which the copy is pre-printed and pasted onto the sign face, almost like wallpaper, and the copy is changed once a month. Another form is the painted bulletin, which is today largely not painted anymore. It used to be hand-painted, but today that work is done on sheets of plastic, which are stretched over the face of the sign. The problems in the billboard business, there are literally many hundreds of leases from property owners for permission to keep the signs. The signs have to be built, and it's very complicated and difficult today to secure permits to build additional signs because of the zoning restrictions. There are the usual salesman's problems. The poster boards are generally sold in packages, which might consist of anywhere from as few as 15 up to maybe 100 signs in a package. And the signs are sold for a minimum of 1 month at a time, but sometimes they're sold for 3 and 6 months, or for 12 months, and sometimes for 36 months. The cost of advertising on billboards is low in terms of the cost per 1,000 impressions, which is generally the way it's measured. I've lost track anymore of what those costs are and what they used to be. So there are all the problems with this. Is that at the time that I was managing Pittsburgh Outdoor, we had 13 different labor union locals with all the problems that were involved in negotiating labor contracts at a time when the unions were very much stronger and very much more militant than they were at that time. But it's properly run, it can be a very good business.
You employ workmen to build the stands that hold the signs?
Oh yes, we built we did everything. We found the location, we negotiated the lease, we secured the permits, we bought the steel beams and the pieces to build the face and the trim on the sign. We painted the trim, or in later years used plastic trim. Assemble the so-called showings or packages in which they were sold, and sold them to the advertisers, collected our money, paid our taxes, did all the things that people do in connection with the business.
Mm. Okay. I think we have a pretty clear idea of how that business works. Okay. Are we about on the time?
Yeah, I
just don't want to start a new subject if we're at the tail end of the...
Did your sons get Shadyside Academy?
All four of our sons attended Shadyside for from kindergarten through graduation. Our oldest one, Henry, went on to went to Princeton, and after Princeton, he went to Wharton, which is where he met his wife. Our third son, Paul, went to the University of Pennsylvania and doing their Wharton School of Business. Jim went to the University of Rochester and dropped out after the first year, and Paul went to Tulane. Rob went to Tulane, and he dropped out after the first year. But our family has been very much involved with Shadyside Academy for a lot of years.
I suppose you have a very good feeling about it.
Very much indebted to Shadyside. I've known people there most of my life with all good personal friends.
That's a very good way, it's a lovely way to feel about the school that you went to. I think that's good luck to feel that way. Children can go to the
very, same school. Very fortunate. It all started because my parents had the wisdom to take me out of the public school system, which was a disaster for me, and put me in the Shadyside.
You had to be very rebellious to be skipping school at such a young age.
Oh, I...
must have been a...
I fought a tooth and nail. I fought a tooth and nail, but fortunately I did not prevail.
You know, your father was... No.
Henry is Henry Posner Jr. And your son is Henry Posner
Third. That's right.
And there is no Milton.
There's
no Milton Posner.
No.
I got that mixed up.
No, it's Milt Selznick.
Were they related to David Selznick?
Yes.
Is that right? Is that how Rose came to go to California?
Yes.
And worked on Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
That's really interesting. That was a landmark movie for sure.
Yeah, she worked on The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
Interesting thing about all those people is that all of them, they can only talk about the various movie stars and movie people that they know. It's a whole, like a little isolated world out here.
Well, Sean knows they can do that right.
See, I'm going back to the washroom here again for a moment.
Okay.
Then you can think, I can go, I can.
talk to you about the various documents that I
all
have.
Right.
And